Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Welcome back here. And I got a message here. Did you see this, General? You're the one that brought it to my attention.
Yes, there is a man said that they'd been having some fun. I don't know that I appreciate that they were having some fun on a website for a bar and restaurant, I think, in the Beverly Hills area. And there's the link. I'll send that to you.
Bar, restaurant. Which Beverly Hills hotels are... These are people that are... Oh, we're staying at the Regent Beverly Wilshire just for one night. So are these people...
These are people recommending hotels and bars, and one of your listeners got his little Ted Bell shot in there.
You know, we ought to have Ted on and see what he thinks about this stuff.
No, he's busy, right? Try to call him up right now, and he's all, I can't talk. The Dunphy, God help me, the Dunphy, and then the line went dead.
Oh, the Dunphy brothers are in tonight, that's right.
The Dunphy brothers?
What are they?
A couple of guys that Ted has an ongoing sort of relationship with these. He bets with, I think they're bookies, do you want my honest opinion? He's constantly laying money down on sporting events, and they're always coming in and betting. They might be friends, I don't know.
If you want my honest opinion, I think that they are mobbed up.
Margaret, you have to be careful how you say these things.
Oh, are you kidding me? This is Los Angeles. This is not New York. We don't have La Cosa Nostra. And I'm sorry if I'm getting a little too slack-jawed, Phil. But we don't have that problem here. Thank you.
Really? Yes, we do. Maybe not to the extent they have it in New York. To the extent that anybody has that problem anymore. The mafia has been pretty well beat up over the years by the Federals. But the fact is, don't... Just never mind, okay?
Talk about a mafia.
Never mind. The Dunphy brothers.
Well, that doesn't sound... It doesn't sound Italiano.
Yes, you have to have the Ital... Don't you have to have the Italiano?
You want to keep screwing around like... Why don't you ask Frank what happens?
I don't need to ask Frank anything.
So,
What about it?
The Dunphy brothers obviously are not in the mafia because they're not Italian, okay? That doesn't mean they don't have friends, and that's all that I want to say about that. Thank you. Anyway, getting over here to the website, we are staying at the Regent Beverly Wilshire just for one night. What is this?
The guy said they're having a lot of fun over there, and I scrolled down.
Assuming you don't want to eat the excellent restaurant at your hotel, two restaurants close by, Spago's. Okay, so these people ask the question, where's a good place to eat? We're at the Regent Beverly Wilshire. That's a gorgeous hotel. Is that the one on Wilshire?
Yes, the Beverly Wilshire. Wow.
Well, I don't know.
Didn't we have a Christmas party there one year?
Somebody did. I was at a Christmas party that somebody was holding, and I was, yeah, so...
You don't remember who was hosting the party?
No, I do not.
Well, that must have been some kind of a night.
In any event, it says here that the people, they're asking any suggestions for a good bar and a restaurant to go to. And here is a person who says, well, there's Spago's at North Cannon in Beverly Hills. And Wolfgang Puck does lots of the catering for the Academy Award events. There's Ruth's Chris Steakhouse and so on and so forth. You might go to Trader Vic's for a drink before dinner. That's also close to your hotel. And so on and so forth.
Yeah, well, you have to read. Keep going.
The best steakhouse in Beverly Hills is... here we go. Ted's of Beverly Hills. And that was posted by Chris Norton. And then there is Bobby and Steve Dooley posting, if you're ever in Southern California, just drop off at Ted's of Beverly Hills. We had the best time. Steve had a little too much to drink, but insisted on driving us home anyway. And then you have a guy below that.
Now, this is where the guy came in and said, there's no such place, and then they closed the comment section.
Well, I mean, I don't know. It says here, then a guy says, great goof, there's no such place as Ted's Steakhouse of Beverly Hills. I have heard Ted on the Phil Henry Show, H-E-N-R-Y, but Ted is part of the show. Ted has many different tolls he plays on Phil Henry.
Roles, I think is what that means.
So this guy thinks Ted is playing a lot of different roles on the show?
Yeah, I think, yeah. He thinks Ted Bell's is all over like white on rice.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. What do you want from me, you know?
Well, it's the kind of thing that I think Ted needs to be brought to his attention, because I don't know who this Jimmy 58 is, whether he's real, fake, But obviously the man's looking to impede Ted's business.
It could be that, what's the man, this Hong Kong Charlie.
Well, I don't know. That doesn't read like Hong Kong Charlie.
What are you talking about, Hong Kong Charlie?
What about Hong Kong Charlie?
But we think of Hong Kong.
What are you saying?
What if it is the Hong Kong?
The Hong Kong. What is that, shorthand?
Yeah, that's what Ted calls him. Ted says that the Hong Kong Charlie's just going to call him the Kong, and he thinks the Kong is coming in and is going to try to do to him what King Kong done to Skull Island. Just step on him, everything.
When did you talk to Ted Bell, man? Does he talk to you guys privately or something?
No, he called up to want to know when he's going to be on the show and everything.
Yeah, he's always asking, you know, am I on this weekend? Is it 7:30? What time am I on? And everything like that. And I go, as long as I got you on the line, Ted, I want to pick your brain about the King Kong Charlie, whatever, Hong Kong Charlie. And he goes, oh, yeah, you mean the Kong? I go, oh, yeah, well, you mean the Kong? He goes, yeah, it's called a Kong on account of he's going to Kong.
Will you stop mumbling, man? I don't understand what you're saying.
My God, what did you just say?
I said, what are you yelling for?
I don't understand what you're saying, you mumbling mouth.
Bud, you've got to slow down.
You said that you're telling me about Kong. The Kong.
I said, Ted said, that the Kong, which is what he calls Hong Kong Charlie, gonna treat him the same way Kong treated that jungle.
So Hong Kong Charlie basically is the King Kong of Ted Bell. Is that it?
That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said that Hong Kong Charlie is gonna treat Ted Bell and everything that is Ted Bell just like the way Kong treated that the jungle, and the way Kong did to that, what do you call it?
Elevated train.
The elevated train.
what a mental midget. I'm telling you.
So are you saying that Ted Bell did that?
Yeah, that's what he said.
He's an idiot, you know? I swear to God.
Well, he's a big sponsor, Phil.
I don't give a damn if he's a big sponsor or not. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Hong Kong Charlie's going to treat him the way Kong treated that elevated train.
Oh, man.
Well, you know, Phil, it's fun to laugh unless you're the butt of the joke, you know?
Yeah, well, Phil, he has a real fear.
You know you know what? I'm learning something about Ted Bell. I really am. I'm learning that the guy is a real lightweight. You know that?
What do you mean?
I mean the fact that he's got some competition down the street that's a Chinese restaurant, completely different from what he serves, completely different price point, totally different price point, totally different customers. Hong Kong Charlie's is a family joint. Ted's is a late-night date place. It's a steak joint. It's a, you know, cocktails. It's men and women, man. Yeah, he has the families coming in on Sundays, but it's a total different vibe. What is he so paranoid about? I got money that says Hong Kong Charlie doesn't bust into Ted Bell's money at all, that it doesn't affect his business at all.
Well, don't you think that Ted Bell knows better than you what Hong Kong Charlie's capable of? I mean, this is only the beginning. We don't know what he can do.
Well, it's a good point.
What Hong Kong Charlie is capable of. What sounds like he's going to come in the middle of the night.
Do you remember, Daniel Plainview? I'm going to come to you where you live in the middle of the night and slit your throat.
Oh.
Well, go ahead and,
You got to make jokes, Phil?
Yeah, I'm making jokes. There goes Margaret.
Yes. The Roytans?
Yeah, over the refrigerator.
Thank you.
Well, you going to join her for a Roytan?
Don't mind if I do.
Look at these two, man. But the general is really kissing up to Margaret. I wonder what's going on there. All right.
Absolutely nothing, thank you.
All right, we're going to be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. What else we got here, bud? A couple of more stories I know that we'll get into when we return. But maybe bring Ted on just so he can respond to some of these very nasty, nasty rumors that I'm now floating for no reason whatsoever. That he's a real baby, and he's getting more baby-like as the days go by. World-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com at 855-500-7445. What did you want to do?
Well, you were going to get Ted Bell on here.
No, we had Ted on last night. I guess probably we should, though. because I was looking for another news story and I couldn't find it. A reminder that we are on Facebook at facebook.com/PhilHenryFans, P-H-A-N-S. That's Phil Henry Fans, P-H-A-N-S. So if you want to go and like the show, you can do that. And we talk to folks. Generally, that's a good place to go to see what we got cooking on the show. And we're on Twitter at twitter.com/PhilHenry. That's twitter.com/RealPhilHenry. And then we have twitter.com/PhilHenryShow. So there's a couple of different ways that you can reach out and get in touch with us and rock and roll all night and party every day. Speaking of that, congratulations to Kiss for making the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Margaret, you have the information there?
Yes, and Kiss, Linda Ronstadt, Daryl Hall, and John Oates. And there's a few more, and I don't know what it is.
Well, can we find out, please?
I'll find out, yes.
Ted Bell joining us from Ted's of Beverly Hills on this evening of quite a few things. The Dunphy Brothers.
I told the kid there, Dickman, that I had the Dunphy Brothers in. I didn't want that to be broadcast to the entire world, but hey, you know what? You don't always get what you want in this world, and I sure didn't want that, but I got it. So thank you very much for that. By the way, yes, the Mormons, a terrific group. They're going to be, it's their Thursday night booty at the Redwood. The Mormons, outstanding group, are going to be on hand. Plus the stand-up comedy of the Asterios and a group called I can't say the name of the group, but it's F-Ass and the Grease Patrol. And
excuse me?
Margaret, this is the name. I was asked to mention this. What do you want from me?
Oh, God.
Yeah, and so, what do you mean, oh, God? I think it is it's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful act. Anyway, it's the Mormons, so please do visit the Mormons at the Redwood Bar. Here at Ted's of Beverly Hills, of course, this weekend, playoff football resumes in the prime rib room. Come on in. If the Dunphy Brothers are here, you don't have to talk to them. That's my business. I don't know who decided to open their big fat bazoo on that. But that is really dirty pool.
Well, you told me about it.
I don't care if I told you about it, because the Dunphys came in tonight, and the speculation as to whether or not they are affiliated with organized crime, oh, man, do you understand that could get me dropped? Those guys have nothing whatsoever to do with organized crime, and you say something like that, Phil, you could get me dropped down a manhole and washed out to sea, and I become just something else floating in a harbor, and someone says, well, look at the colorful buoy that they have this year. Oh, I'm sorry, that's a man. You know, Phil...
Wait a minute. If they're not with organized crime, what are you worried about?
They're not with organized crime. These are two very dear friends of mine, very close, dear friends.
And so if I happen to mention, by mistake or speculate, that they are with organized crime, you'll wind up getting dropped down a manhole, washed out to sea, and turned into a human buoy.
Yes.
I don't understand that. How's that possible?
Well, Phil, if you insult a man, naturally, there's not...
Go ahead, Margaret. You know exactly my thinking on this.
Yes, there's not much he can do.
If I insult a man...
And you say that he's a part of organized crime, what else can he do but knock you out and throw you into a manhole?
But he's not a criminal.
Yeah, he's now you've made him a well you've given him a criminal instinct that he's trying to fight against.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? You guys are nuts, and nuts is just the beginning.
Well, you can call me nuts, but I know the Dunphys. Both of these guys are sweethearts, and even if they were associates of a crime family or syndicate or crew or whatever you want to call them, I don't know anything about it. Even if they were, I certainly wouldn't be talking about it on the radio in such a grandiose and cavalier manner as you have done this evening, risking me getting, yes, knocked out, thrown in a manhole, washed out to sea, and I'm bobbing up and down like a human buoy. All you got to do is put a flag on top of my head, and people would say, there's the 3-mile marker. And I don't think that's funny, Phil. And
well, it's funny to me.
Oh, is it?
No, just the image that you have just now portrayed.
No, well, I don't think it's funny. I've got a wife and a son. You think my son thinks that's funny when I talk about Daddy bobbing up and down with a 3-mile marker on him?
Yeah?
Well, yeah, I mean...
Ted, look, you were doing fine until you brought that up. The point, Phil, I think we're trying to make is Ted has people that go into that restaurant There's no question that there are some... Would you agree, Ted, that there are some shady people?
What are you trying to do to me?
Ted, I...
No. What are you trying to do to me? I got a business. This is some of the biggest weekends we have throughout the year. We have football. We have families coming in. We got the holiday season. We just had Thanksgiving. We've got Christmas coming up. People like to come in here for a steak dinner. And you're talking about the mafia? What the hell am I signing up for here, Henry?
You're absolutely right. It's wrong to speculate.
Wrong? You're going to get me killed. You're going to get me killed. You're going to get me run over repeatedly. Did you ever see the videotape?
Well, here we go. You're going to be... Now he's going to start exaggerating.
Oh, wow. You know what? Did you see the videotape of that broad, excuse me for saying broad, that backed over her husband about 6 times?
Yes, I saw that. You know, it's interesting that you bring that up, Ted, because Patsy, my wife, saw that during a period of our life that I will tell you was not the most settled period. And I saw her watching that. And you always know when a woman has a bag of Fritos or, you know, the large scoop, not the... And it doesn't matter that they were Fritos, but I took note of the fact that Patsy had a bag, and she was on a diet. She loved Fritos, but she had the large scoop. You know the one, the large scoop?
Yeah, I know the large scoop Fritos.
Yeah, that's... And she's eating those and watching this videotape of this man getting run over about 6 times, and you could almost see the light bulb hovering over her head. And I will tell you this, if it had been a real light bulb, I would have been blinded once that thing came on, because the light from it in my mind, in my immutable Buddha mind...
Phil, could you throw it to Phil for a minute?
General, why don't you sit down, okay?
Yes, but in my mind, you know.
I understand.
Well, thank you, General.
Yes, in my immutable mind...
In your immutable mind, General, many things are possible. There's no question. No question at all. Look, the General saw it. I saw it. That guy that got run over 8 times, that's what you want to have happen to me. The Dunphys are 2 men. They are family men. They've got children. They have wives. They've got every kind of female. They've got daughters, wives, aunts. They've got grandmothers. They've got female employees. They're just covered with... There's women everywhere, and they don't have sex with any of them. So, you know, they are very stand-up guys, and you're calling them mobbed up? They're going to run me over 8 times and then throw me out right off of Catalina so that when I start to bloat and then float, okay?
Okay, Ted, I get the idea. They're really stand-up guys, but they're going to run you over and throw you off of a boat near Catalina.
Yes.
If not out of an airplane.
That too. So I got to tell you, I would, if you don't mind apologizing...
I apologize. I know the Dunphys are great guys.
Yes, and they're not bookies either.
And they're not bookies either.
Right. And...
Well, yeah, they are. But,
so...
Thanks a lot. So, Ted knows some great guys, you know.
I don't understand. That guy's going to... Well...
You run him over 8 times, and then they'll throw him out of an airplane near Catalina. You know how many guys go that way, by the way? That's quite a...
Go what way?
I mean, in the world of organized crime and hits and that kind of thing here in California, I mean, in New York, but here in L.A., there's a lot of guys that get thrown out of airplanes, you know?
Well, are you talking about over the channel, the Santa Barbara Channel?
Yeah, between L.A. and Catalina, between L.A., between the mainland and those Channel Islands, there's a lot of guys that just get pushed right out of an airplane.
Man, what do they do that for?
I don't know. It's the world of the criminal. It's the world of it's the world of the hit. The world of the, you know, the whack.
What's that?
When they kill a guy, man.
Yes, when you whack a guy. Now, if you whack, well...
I don't think we have to... Yes.
When you whack what?
When you whack anything else, it ain't killing them, okay? You're not killing it.
If you whack...
Yeah, you're not killing that. You're killing only... If you whack a guy, you kill him.
But you whack anything else?
I already explained it to you guys. You don't have to keep going, okay?
You know they do that on purpose.
So anyway, that's the thing that I understand and have heard. You get thrown out of an airplane. That's the California way, man. Woo! Man.
That's pretty rude, man.
Well, I don't imagine getting killed is the best manners on the part of anybody. No, it sucks. But they found a guy out here. Did I ever tell you that's the mind blower of all time when I heard? I'll tell you the story when we come back of Stephen B. I saw it on television. My mother used to go in and get her hair done, and the woman that did her hair was Stephen B.'s mother.
Oh, my God, that's the disc jockey.
Yeah. And I saw this thing on Investigation Discovery, and I believe I'm getting the story. I'll tell you when we come back, because it was a real mind-blower for me, because I remember my mother saying, do you know Stephen B.? Do you know Stephen B.? I said, no, Mom, I don't. I know, I've heard of him, because he was on the air in Denver. She said, well, his mother does my hair. I said, well, it's, you know, that's great. And so it went. Wow. We'll be back. Phil Henry Show. World famous Phil Henry Show.
PhilHenryShow.com.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Oh, Andy Williams. Do you know that he lived with an older woman?
You don't need to hear that.
I love Andy Williams, and you would befoul his name, wouldn't you?
He lived with an older woman. I didn't say what he did.
Probably spent her money.
I beg your pardon?
Spent her money.
Would you guys shut up, please? I'm trying to listen to the...
What was that? I mean, you like this?
Not really, but it's...
You don't like this.
Nah, I never liked Andy Williams. I never liked his voice. It sounds too, well, I shouldn't say...
feminine.
Yeah, it does. It sounds feminine.
I beg your pardon, Andy Williams?
I don't like it, you know. I like the more of the Frank Sinatra thing, you know.
What a bigot.
How's that being bigoted that I don't like Andy Williams' voice?
Well, you're intimating that Andy Williams is of an effeminate nature. And then,
Oh, Margaret, give it a rest. No one's calling Andy Williams a poof or anything like that. We're simply saying his voice is unsettling. It's disturbing.
I wouldn't put it that way. I wouldn't say Andy Williams got a disturbing voice. All right.
Can I listen to this song, please? Because I... Here, listen. Right here. Do, 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 do. See, do you hear the chorus? Do you know what that takes to be able to do something like that?
What, sing?
No, hold on. And scary ghost stories and do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Even scary ghost stories.
It's about Christmas. It's frightening for some people.
It's the most
wonderful time of the year. Here it is. Here, listen. There are dead people walking, and you know.
No, no, I don't know.
Turn the garbage. Would you turn that garbage off, bud? God Almighty.
You know, it goes from being a song you love to garbage.
I want to clear something up. You're not aware that Christmas frightens some people.
What? What are you talking about?
I'm not talking to you. Are you aware of that?
No, I'm not.
Christmas scares the living hell out of some people. I'm one of them.
Well, all right. I, you know.
Well, what?
Margaret, what are you...
You know, when I heard the Christmas Carol and the Ghoul of Christmas Past...
It's not the ghoul.
Well, wait. They call it the ghost, but let's talk about this. The ghoul of the thing of Christmas past. That's what I translated it into when I was a child. Because my father would say, well, this is the Christmas Carol, the ghost. I said, well, Daddy, because I was very precocious, I said, Daddy, let's cut to the chase. It's the thing of Christmas past, isn't it? It's the ghoul. It's the preambulating. It's the thing. It's the slime that locomotes.
What's that mean, locomote?
Moves. It moves.
So the moving slime of Christmas...
When you laugh, it makes me want to take my own throat out. It really does.
Because you take things too seriously.
Maybe.
Do you need to go and...
No, I don't need to go to the bathroom.
But I want to be clear. The moving slime of Christmas past.
Yes. Are you clear now?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Well, you know as well as I do that that is an asinine and absurd notion.
I'm just saying that sometimes Christmas scares me blind.
When you think about the moving slime of Christmas past. All right. Well, anyway, welcome back to the program here.
You know, I love how you just blow it off like I'm some kind of a freak And, you know, I'll get to you later, Margaret. Thank you for your freak show. Now get back in your cage.
Margaret, you let yourself in for it.
I don't let myself for in. I don't let myself in for anything there, brains.
All right. 855-500-7445, the world famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Now, I was going to say to you the whole Stephen B. thing. Now, I know we have Dr. Ron Turner. What's he want?
Dr. Ron Turner's only want to talk about things that make allergic, that make you allergic, and the things that'll cause you, give you migraine headache during the festive time of year.
Yeah.
During the festive time of year.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, we'll get to that in a second. Well, you know what? Maybe we ought to get to it now. The whole Stephen B. story is very depressing, you know?
Well, get to that some other time. His relatives may be listening, and I think you already told it once.
I seem to remember you did, Phil.
Okay, fine. No, we will tell it, folks, but not particularly. It's not the time nor the place nor the whatever it is. On the line is Dr. Ron Turner from Denver, Colorado this evening. We're going to talk with the good doctor here about food allergies and what to expect this time of year if you happen to have any of these food allergies. How you doing, Doc? Dr. Turner, and you're in Denver. You're a resident, I know, of Cloverdale. So you're in town for what?
Well, Phil, we're here right now. I'm with my son, and we're doing a little bit of Christmas shopping, and we're visiting a young lady that I know, and we may spend the night there. I don't know yet. Well, we'll see, you know, but my son comes first, and as I've often said to the women in my life, my son comes first, and you, whoever she is going to come second. There's nothing, I don't have a, well, I'm talking too much.
No, go ahead.
It's all right, Ron, I want to hear this.
Well, I was just going to say, hello, Margaret, how are you?
I'm good.
Now I'm a little nervous because I know Margaret. No woman in my life takes precedence over my son.
Understood.
And so when she says, would you like to come up and spend the night, I say, I've got my son with me. And she'll say something like, can't you drop him off somewhere? And I'll say, no, I can't. And she'll say, well, you know, that's it. The invitation is rescinded. And I'll say, so that's how it's going to be. I can't come up there and sleep with you when I have my son. That's fine with me. I am done with you. And that's happened a couple of times in the last month.
In the last month, you know, it's hard to know whether people are going to be selfish like that.
Well, you just don't know, Phil. And so that's happened tonight. She said, do you have your son with you? And I said, yes, I do. And she said, you can't dump him someplace. I said, no, I can't.
Did she say dump him someplace?
Yes, she did. So I'm going to see what I can do next week.
Why would you want to have anything to do with this woman?
Why would I want to have what?
Why would you want to have anything to do with her?
Well, I want to have because she's a very beautiful woman, and that's a funny question.
This is a woman that said to you, why don't you dump your son someplace so you can come up here and sleep with me, right?
She didn't say sleep with me, but she...
All right, but you hear what I'm saying.
I hear what you're saying, Phil. I don't think she said anything that was all that... her choice of words, yes, I'll give you that. I will grant you that.
Well, Ron, don't you see she's saying, can't you dump the kid somewhere? That does not portend good things for you and that woman if that's how she speaks about your son.
Margaret, I'm not interested in marrying her. I'm not even interested in having her be visible at all in my life. If she's in my life at all, she'll never be seen by my friends and my family. That's never going to happen. I would not let a woman like that anywhere near my friends or family. All right.
Well, then you certainly don't want your son to spend the night up there with you, with this woman, right?
That's different. He can amuse himself with television or eat a Joy Pop. I don't know what they call them anymore.
Probably like a popsicle.
Yeah, we could get popsicles and suckers and the things that kids dig. And he can sit and suck on that all night while, you know, Daddy is...
Please don't, Ron. Don't say it.
All right. Well, okay, I won't say the word suck, but...
Okay, Ron, so we know you have a very rich social life.
And by the way, could I interrupt for a moment?
Yeah.
Since when is it Ron and not Dr. Turner?
Forgive me, Dr. Turner.
Yes, I'm sorry, Dr. Turner, I meant to say that.
Okay.
So you have a very rich social life, you have a lot of women, But the deal breaker is your son is with you, and if he can't be spending the night with you and these women, then it's a no deal.
Absolutely.
Do you think it's healthy, though, to have this boy with you when you are enjoying the company of a woman, a different woman, every other week?
I would rather have my son with me so I can explain it to him the next day than not have him with me, than have him with some babysitter down in our home in Cloverdale, where, by the way, his mother can come anytime she wants and sit there and tap into my bar and basically kill off all my Courvoisier and destroy all my my Martini and Rossi and whatever else I've got, because that's what she does. That's what she does. That's what Carolyn does. She'll come over when she knows that I'm not there, and she'll sit down with Marty, and he's watching television. And
your son's name is Marty?
Is that his name?
Yes, Marty. And I told you, because of Marty and Paddlefoot. And
Yeah, when you were a kid.
Yeah, we named him Marty because I loved that Marty and Paddlefoot. The show was called Spinner and Paddlefoot. I only found out later.
Well, you weren't going to name him Spinner, were you?
I loved that show so much, and the state that I was in when he was born, because I had been, as you know, Phil, I had a problem back then. So just before Marty was born, I had been cooking up some what was left of this baggie that I... God almighty, I can't believe it.
You were a junkie.
Yes, I was. And I was cooking up the last of boy, I can't, I just... Anyway, that's why I said name him Marty for the Marty and Paddlefoot show. And Carolyn said, don't you dare come near this hospital. And I said, thank you very much. I'm proud to be a father, too.
You were a mess.
Are you kidding me? And you finally pulled it together.
I had to, or else I wasn't going to graduate. So I did. And then I found out later the name of the show was Spinner and Paddlefoot. Had I known that then, as a dirty, filthy, crawling junkie, I'd have a son today named Spinner. I would have fought to the death for the name Spinner.
I got to tell you, Ron, I've heard some kooky stories tonight, but... Anyway, so tell me all about, so you're out and you're doing your Christmas shopping. I'd like to talk a little bit about these food allergies, okay?
I'd love to do that too, Phil.
Okay.
But it's difficult to let go of the whole, your son and these women.
Well, what's difficult to let go of?
Why are you going out with these women?
Because, Margaret, they're beautiful women. Do you want me to be more graphic? I will. They've got enormous breasts. Enormous breasts. I don't think we have to go any further. They've got enormous breasts.
I understand, Ron.
All right. You asked me why I'm going out with them. It should be obvious. They've got enormous breasts.
Enormous breasts?
Is he...
Well, okay, I get it, Ron. You keep with the redundancy. Of course Bud's going to make fun of you.
Don't do it, Dickman. Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me very much when I get angry. Is he laughing?
Yes, he is. Why?
I can sense it through the phone. I can sense it all the way here in Denver. The reason why I date these women, Margaret, is because...
They have enormous breasts. Enormous breasts.
That's exactly right. And if that's something that you can't deal with, if you've got some jealousy, perhaps...
Oh, wow. Woo! Yeah, that's right, Ron. I'm real jealous. I just really want to go out with an egghead with a flat-top haircut, horn-rimmed glasses with the chain around the neck, the pocket protector, the whole thing, the whole enchilada. I really want that.
I get it, okay? I get it. You're mocking me. I get it. You hate me. You hate everything about me.
I didn't say that.
All right, let's just take a break here.
Unreal, that man.
Let's just take a break here.
Let's just take a break here.
So you do want to die. Oh, that's great. It's not 10 o'clock yet.
No, I'm just kidding.
Uh-huh. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, 855-500-7445. And it's time. It's time. We're in the red zone, baby. In the red zone here. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. And, of course, this is very festive, too. This is the sound of doom, man. What the hell is this, Robert?
Not that that hell's bells, man. AC/DC.
Yeah, this is real. This has got Elf and Santa written all over it, man. Be right back. World-famous Phil Henry Show. Welcome Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. On the line with us, Dr. Ron Tarner. All right, I think we've gotten as far as we're going to go here, Ron, with your dating life, and I know it's been very invasive, and I apologize, but we do want to talk about the food allergy thing and what people may expect from not so much overindulgence, but just eating the wrong foods.
Well, Phil, that is exactly correct. Eating the wrong foods or at Christmas time or any time of the year can cause unbelievable pain from migraine headache, and that's what I wanted to speak with you about here. There are certain foods that can cause migraine headaches, and certain foods, believe it or not, that have an addictive quality. And one of those foods is one that you had mentioned to me, Phil, that you enjoy, cheeses. Now, I know you haven't eaten cheese in a long time, correct?
I've cut that completely out of my diet, not because of anything other than it's just too much fat.
Well, and I think you wisely have. Cheese has a level of opiate in it that can be addictive. We have found this out.
You're being serious.
Oh, I'm being very serious. Cheeses and different cheeses can be addictive. And this news comes at a time, I think, it's a great time for this news. Cheese is a very, as you mentioned, Phil, has lots of fat content. It binds the entire, we all know that it is a very binding food. I can't say enough about cheese that's bad. And I had my own experience with cheese, and I won't say anything, and I won't go into detail other than I want you to imagine trying to pass, you know.
Okay, Ron, I don't, please don't. You had mentioned this to me earlier, and I told you don't go on the air with this.
Well, I there's no other way of explaining what cheese did to me, and I want people to understand this.
What did cheese did to you?
Who is speaking?
Bud Dickman.
Oh, not that guy.
But what he's saying, what do you mean, what cheese did to you?
What cheese did to me, yes. It's an addictive, first of all, cheese is highly addictive. So when you're eating cheese, it has an addictive quality, not unlike nicotine, from cigarettes.
Yeah, well, that is very interesting, Dr. Tarner. I know that I enjoy cheese. Eventually, but when you say addicting, you're talking about someone who uses or not eats cheese daily.
Eats cheese daily. That's what I mean. Yes. And in general, just so you understand, cheese was something that was a real problem for me. I was very much addicted to cheese, and what cheese did to me after I ate it. Now, imagine a man who is addicted to cheese. That means I'm eating at least a block of cheese a day.
Now, how much is that?
I can't tell you. I don't even know. But if you go to the store, you'll see the large block, almost brick size, of cheddar cheese. I had one of those at lunch every day.
Oh, my God. That is way too much fat.
That you had one of those at lunch?
An entire brick. And what that did to me and what the dairy farmers of Wisconsin did to me and the dairy farmers of California did to me.
But you're taking it all personal and stuff.
Yes, I notice you're taking it personally.
Well, why not take it personally? Because I was addicted. So I'm eating this cheese every day at noon. By 6 o'clock, something else is happening. And Margaret didn't want me to say what it is, so let me just say by 6 o'clock, the dairy farmers of Wisconsin... Boy.
It's that bad, huh?
Oh, it's worse. The dairy fowler, I can't even say the word now.
Dairy farmers?
The dairy family, I've got a mental block.
Let's just say the farmers.
No, that's the mental block. I can say dairy, the dairymen. How about that?
That's great.
But that was a band, too.
What do you mean it was a band?
I think that was a band from Liverpool.
No, they weren't a band from Liverpool. It was like from...
The dairymen were, it was a band from Manchester, that's it.
Oh, who cares? Okay, so around 6 o'clock, what happens?
Someone takes their revenge on me, and they milk cows. There you go. Someone that milks a cow takes his revenge on me.
What's his name?
It's not a name. I told you I can't say Flemley.
He can't.
I'm going to hang this phone up in 5 seconds if I hear one more snicker from anyone.
Sorry. He can't say farmer. So someone that milks a cow, one or many?
Many people that milk cows take their revenge out on me at 6 o'clock every night.
Well, I can figure out what that would be.
You can?
Yeah. I mean, you're trying to crap a brick. And
I told you not to say that.
Well, he's saying it. It's not just a brick either. It's a mason block. It is a hard cement mason block. Goodbye.
All right.
Well, Phil, you gave him your word.
Oh, I didn't give him my word. I didn't give him anything. I said, I'll have you on the show. I'll try not to laugh if I laugh. But I'm going to tell you something. We have more guests on this show that have a maturity problem more than anything else that affects the mental state of these people is just gone. I can't say farmer. How about guys that milk cows for a living? They take their revenge out on me. And every day at 6, I crap a very rough, hard mason block. Ha, ha, ha. Goodbye. Click.
Well, can you blame him?
Oh, of course I can blame him.
I would blame him too as well, Margaret. That's very childish. A man's going to laugh if you're telling me that you willingly eat a block of cheese at noon, and at 6, the guys that milk cows get their revenge on you. That is a laughable statement in a variety of different directions.
It absolutely is. And I think that if we have Ron back on the show, and by the way, this guy's life is way out of control. I sleep with a different woman every couple of weeks, and my son is with me, and they won't let my son stay. Well, they don't know because I love my son. What the hell is that about? And why do you sleep with them? They have large breasts, Phil. Large breasts, Phil.
Look at you laughing. A pornographic lifestyle. You think it's funny?
Yeah, large breasts, Phil. We'll see you guys tomorrow. They have large breasts, Miss Gray.
Shut your filthy hole.
They have large... Ow!